This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and is that a burrito in my purse, or am I just happy to see me?
I'm Brandy Posey, and the Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman costume must be the Borat suit of the Leather Daddy community. Ooh, God, that's a phrase.
I'm Tess Barker, and I assume they're called Thin Mints, because if you eat them by the sleeve, that makes you thin.
That's right. And this Absolutely. Is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Is it cookie time? It is, right?
It is cookie time.
It is. Okay.
It was is.
I feel like
I haven't
I don't,
seen them yet.
I don't understand the schedule. It feels like a leap year. Like, it feels like it happens more than once a year.
Yes.
But also, like, I have no idea what time of year it occurs.
They just show up. It's kind of like Easter. I feel like it kind of moves around based on something.
Yes, and it's a bit like the Santa Anas. Like, it's a weird, it's a special time when it's cookie time.
It is. Exactly. It is a special time. It's wafting through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's been real rainy, so I feel like we haven't seen them, like, at least I haven't seen them really out and about yet. And I don't know that I don't have a direct Girl Scout in my life currently.
I'm good.
That's not a complaint.
Girl Scout.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Tess
that's not a
complaint. Tess is out here supporting.
Yeah. I have four Girl Scouts because there are two sets of sisters.
Oh wow.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And then I feel bad because I have seen them out because they're at Romans.
So right. But you're like, I've already got four.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. And I almost said to the other girl, the girls the other day, I almost said, I have four nieces.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not being rude.
Oh, wait. Okay. How do you guys feel about this? I was at Trader Joe's yesterday and there was a kid walking around with his mom. And he had like he was selling like a dollar chocolate bar in Trader Joe's. So he was like walking around with the box. He wasn't approaching anybody, but he was walking like, you know, kind of like, hey, look,
come
check this out.
Me.
And I was like,
smart.
What are you doing?
Like, no. I mean, I respect the hustle.
No. Yeah.
I respect the hustle, but no. I'm already saying no to all these snacks. I don't need to also see the eyes of a child to say no to as well on top
of
all
I think
of
it was
the
like the guilt factor that I was like, yeah. I choose, I can usually see and decide like if I want to be like, okay, I'm going to do this. But I was just like everywhere, every aisle I went down, the kid was there.
Yeah, because it's like usually it's like, all right, I got you one way in, one way out of the store. I can handle that. But at every aisle.
Yeah, he's traveling. Yeah.
And a Trader Joe's is the size of like an average living room. Like,
it's so small.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I forget if we've talked about this on the podcast before, but like in general, I have a lot of really negative memories around being a child and being expected to hawk stuff. Like, I really hated it. I felt very uncomfortable doing it. And I don't know why we make kids do it.
It's real crazy because we could just fund the schools.
It's not
that
so
much
sad
money.
To be like, let me give you a dollar for this shitty chocolate, or else we could just invest in our future of our children.
Yeah, and it's like, what? How much candy are you really selling? Like the top salesman, maybe this is even high.
Honestly,
probably
I think they're selling a lot.
Yeah. My brother was a top seller. That was
There are the
brother.
Kids who are really good at it.
Yeah. So then that was the other fucked up thing about having a sibling who was a top seller is like he had the hustle and I was just standing behind him like.
Yeah. See, I think it's like we need to be mirroring actual society where like if the kids that want to hustle, they can do that. But I think like the other kids can have different
roles.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be expected.
Yeah,
to.
Not everyone should be a salesman. Like not everyone wants to be that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I'm terrible at that. I'm like, you don't need this.
Nightmare.
Don't buy this.
I know.
I still hate it.
I hate it.
Yeah, like anytime you have to like hustle for tickets outside of a show or something. It's like I really, because it's like I hate, I feel like I'm bothering people, and I don't.
I do like embarrassing myself to a degree. Like I always did like singing the shitty happy birthday song when I worked at the steakhouse, you know, because I do feel like it's fun to be corny sometimes.
Yeah.
I do like to be outside of a show and be like, free comedy, headliner's really funny, and then like thumbs myself, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, in general, it's not fun. And we talked about it, the weird stuff. I mean, we've had people write in and tell us about, like, is, you know, making sandwiches, like what they're, the our kids are still out there, they're doing it, selling stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, when I was a kid, like, we went fucking door to door, which is so unsafe.
Yeah, same. Same. Are kids still going door to door? I'd be curious.
Well, you know, I did have some kids come to my door like 2 or 3 years ago, and I thought this was kind of a cool aunt move. I said,
ooh,
I don't want any candy, but here's $5 and you go buy yourself what you want at 7-Eleven.
Whoa. Like, wait, first of all, I don't want any candy. What's going on? It was just not good.
I wanted the money to go directly to the kid. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. Like, you take $5. Like, I don't know. Cause that's the other thing is like,
yeah, where's this going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. I should never refuse candy again. Thank you. That's a good
I was just, I got a little taken aback. I'm sorry.
You know what? It probably wasn't candy. I think it was, thank you, it was coupons.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's you're right. I would never not.
And like, has anyone ever used that coupon book more than once?
No.
Maybe?
Like, they're like, you're going to save $200. And you're just like, but then I have to go spend money at all these places I won't spend money at.
These places I don't go to. You know,
I'm a little coupon whore, though. Not a coupon whore. I guess I'm a coupon. Well, I think I'm the perfect gullible person for a coupon, I should say. Like, you know those Valpak things that come in the mail that every time they never have one you're going to use? It's like closet organizers on sale for $600. And you're just using this? But I look at them every time as though there's going to be something different in there that I'm going to use every time. I guess I just need to read more. Maybe that's what I'm trying to do. I just really want to read.
I mean, you're just an optimist. I mean, I think it's that you like the promise of a coupon.
Yeah.
What that could mean for you. You know.
Do you guys remember I told you I was into extreme couponing?
That was a while ago.
It was also like not true, but.
I mean, it was a potential hobby. It makes sense.
Have you ever,
I have a follow-up question, Babs. Have you ever used a coupon?
Yes, I have used coupons.
Okay. Like a hard coupon.
I've used a hard coupon. I've cut out a coupon. So Ralph's has a thing where they'll send you direct coupons and they're like things that you usually buy.
Oh, that's cool.
So they'll send you a thing that's like, here's a free thing. And then also here's money off of things you purchase. So I'll use those when they come in the mail. That's pretty
good.
Much it. Yeah.
I like that.
I have the Ralph's app. They have coupons on there. So
shit, Babs. Because Ralph's is my favorite grocery store, and like you're kind of making me realize I need to get my shit together because I, for whatever like arrested development reason, I have never changed the phone number from my mom's landline.
You gotta get. What are we doing? You gotta get in on the Ralph's points. What's happening?
Okay,
so many
just
good points.
The Cheesecake Factory loyalty club. So like one thing at a time.
I thought you were going to say you never do the loyalty. Okay, so at least you put it in there.
Yeah, no.
Your mom's getting them.
My mom's getting it. I think my whole family's on it. And I think it's my brother that actually, because it would be.
Okay,
I think
of course. It's him. There it is. Top seller.
Top seller's getting it.
Yeah.
But they do. They have some good deals on there anyway.
Shit. And Ralph's, I mean, their produce is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Ralph's.
No, Ralph's is fun.
I almost, the fucking shitty Whole Foods that's by me that they call a Whole Foods is not a real one. It's like half a grocery store. That was a Ralph's. I like was thinking of it the other day and I was like, I just want to put a sign up on here that says, I wish this was still a Ralph's. I like miss it so much.
Wait, is there a bulletin board in there where you could put that up? Because that's really funny.
I don't know.
Really, really funny.
It's like, I just like think about it just randomly. I'm like,
When that changed, it was awful. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This is bad for the neighborhood.
Love a damn Ralph's. Get their shit together, because like there's so many rich people living in Silver Lake. Like, of all the places to have a shitty Whole Foods, that is not it.
Yeah. And people are all over it too. They're in there. And I just go in there once in a while, because obviously, as we all know, Trader Joe's doesn't have all the shit that you actually want or need. Yep. You know, they have you have to supplement. And so it also, that Whole Foods is really funny, because the people doing the samples hate their life so much. I've been in there a few times where guys are like, they're doing like, you know, alcoholic kombucha samples, and the guy like could not be asked to like actually give it to you. It's great. Anyway, I miss Ralph's.
Me too.
Ralph's is great. It's scrappy. For those that don't know, the Ralph's is like, I feel like it's like the scrappy grocery store of Los
Angeles. I don't feel like it's scrappy. I feel like Vons is scrappy.
I agree, Babs.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like Ralph's is much scrappier than Vons.
Really? Usually.
Well, the Vons near me is the scrappy Vons. So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess I've been to the Ralph's on Western and Rock and Roll Ralph's quite a bit. And the Ralph's on Western has a real... There's always some loose tits flying around in that Ralph's. Yeah, there's a lot going on over there.
How I feel about Ralph's is, it is like you're like when you no funny business, no Whole Foods. You can't get sushi there.
Yeah, Trader
Joe's. No funny business. It is a standard grocery store done perfectly.
Oh,
That's how I feel about Ralph's.
Well, that's fair.
All right, our guest today is Ralph.
Wait, we have to plug stuff.
Oh, wait, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just plugging our guest, Ralph. that's all. We do have, if this grocery store conversation thrilled you, boy, you should come see us do comedy in person.
Absolutely. Imagine the written material about grocery stores that we all have.
Exactly.
Yeah. See us full of groceries. How about you come see us March 5th at 7:30 p.m. because I'm running my hour and Babs and Brandy are opening for me.
Yes,
the Glendale Room in fabulous Glendale, California. Tickets are on Eventbrite.
Super cute venue. It's surrounded by books. It's perfect place for Test to run her album. We're gonna have it's gonna be a really fun night. I'm very excited.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then the 14th, I'm in Denver, Colorado. At Sushi High. That's going to be amazing. And then March 22nd, I'm recording my album, The Thing That I'm Running.
Woo!
In Reno, Nevada. I've got a 7 p.m. show and a 9 p.m. show. Brandy's going to be opening for me there. It's going to be fucking amazing.
Yeah. And also, Tess's birthday is the next day. So you're legally required, if you're in the area, to come celebrate Tess's album and her birthday.
Oh my God, please. And I don't drink before my set, but buy me a shot after.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's going to be a blast. Come on out to all of those things.
Come on out.
Burn This Podcast is my other podcast that I've got all of my label artists on. We've had two episodes. Our third episode will drop next week with my third album that's coming out. They've all hit number one so far, which has been very exciting.
Yes,
so,
Brandy.
Yeah, no big deal. But follow Burn This Records on all the things. And we have a little bit of merch up on burnthisrecords.com now, which is very cool. And also March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day, is also the 13th anniversary show for Picture This here in Los Angeles. It's going to be great. We've got some really fun people that are going to be on that show that we can't announce yet, but hopefully.
Ooh, that's when you know it's good. Can't announce? Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah, can't announce them quite yet, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be the Elysian here in LA, 7 o'clock on the 17th. So St. Patrick's Day, get a little bit day drunk, take a nap, and then come out to my show.
That's a perfect day.
I'm going to do that.
Yes.
I've got a mic and two new shows starting this month, because why the fuck not, right? I'm not going to tell you about the mic unless you're a comedian. You can ask me about that. But the shows are start on Wednesday, March 13th. It's called Flex at the Comedy Store. Me and Ashley Ray are hosting it. And it's going to be, it's basically comics running new stuff. It's going to be super fun. 10:30 at night on a Wednesday. Ha! Drink a latte. And then March 27th, Larry David presents at the SIJCC, both Wednesday night shows. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, we're pretty awesome.
Not to mention, oh my God, we got something super fun for all of you and our Patreon subscribers. We are having a live Zoom party, a get shit done party, where you bring the stuff that you've been putting off that you don't want to do. Let us hang out with you while you do it. We're going to go live on Zoom from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific time, Thursday, March 7th. And we're going to get shit done together. We're going to give away prizes. It's going to be really fun. So come get your shit done with us. Patreon.com/ladytolady.
Absolutely. And now, who do we have today on the show?
Wow. We have, a legend, I think is fair.
Mm-hmm. Legend is absolutely true.
Royalty.
Yes.
Royalty. Winner of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 8. No big fucking deal. And they're doing an incredible tour coming up called Jimbo's Drag Circus all over North America and the world. Wow. Please welcome the incredible Jimbo. Oh my God. So excited to have our guest. I can't believe it. We're so honored to have Jimbo on the show. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Thank you so much for having me on Lady to Lady podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. Coming to us from like a theater kid's dream. Obviously, yeah. You're where you keep all of your wigs and like everything. I love it. Can I pay you like $1,000 to just be inside of there for 5 minutes?
Oh my God. Well, come to Victoria, come to Chinatown. I'll give you a tour. You don't have to pay me out. I'll even give you a snack.
Wow.
Oh,
now that's very sweet.
Yeah. What kind of snacks you pack, Jimbo?
Yeah, yeah. Questions about the snack situation at Jimbo's.
It's limited. It may be a Baby Bell, an old Baby Bell, and perhaps a squishy grape. I'm not sure what I got.
Can I say
a Baby Bell is a great snack? A Baby Bell. And a soda water.
I remember doing a show one time that the green room just had this giant glass bowl full of Baby Bells, and I felt fancier than I think I've ever felt in my life. I was just like, oh my God.
I could eat all of these if I wanted.
I could. I took so many.
Never shit again.
Yeah. The unwrapping of the wax, you really do feel like a queen.
There's a ritual to it, I feel.
It's true.
Has anybody been making of the lips?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that would make a really actually a good like Jimbo performance is like as a Baby Bell striptease. Like just a thought.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then two cheesy breasts.
Yes. Exactly. I mean, they kind of there is a breast chiller shape to a Baby Bell to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking earlier, Jimbo.
Tour,
yeah.
We were talking about your baloney stunt.
Yes, I love being my Casper the Baloney Ghost, throwing balonies, feeding the children, as they say.
Yes.
Do you have like a baloney source or is there?
Well, I've had to source baloney around the world in 17 countries last year. I'm not even sure how many of this countries this year, but I've had to, you know, I couldn't find baloney in Italy. I had to throw mortadella. But
extremely
I'm kind of impressed that everyone else had it though.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, yeah. In down in Australia, it was called Fritz Smiley, and it was this like really big slice with a face in it, a little darker meat, eyes and smile.
Oh,
and
oh man, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That kind of matches the costume, right?
Yeah, it was really cool. I was so happy. They were like, yeah, we don't have any bologna, but we've got this with the face on it. I was like, what? I was like, this is the best bologna I've ever seen. I was like, I'll take it all. And then I like, you know, to do a little test when I'm there. If it's being fresh shaved, I have to test the wiggle. I've got to test the throw. I have to test the slap. Mm-hmm. So, I usually have someone with me or I ask a stranger if I can slap them with my bologna and I'll give a little toss.
And where did you come up with that? Or it just came to you one day?
Well, I think there's something about being a clown. You like to play with, you know, things that are mischievous, and growing up, certainly like playing with food and doing strange things with food was something that we were taught you're not really allowed to do. So of course, I love playing with bologna. And then there's something also kind of benign about it that also mm-hmm. felt to me like it's kind of a food. It's also kind of a thing, kind of a prop. makes a good hat, makes a, you know, bite holes in it. You've got a mask. It's a Frisbee. It's, you know, a piece of art if it's stick it on the wall. So it has so many different
It's like a fun uses. Word by itself. Like there's a secret G that you don't even know about. And you're like, what is happening here? I love
also,
it.
Also, I believe Bologna is a city in Italy, which is where we get bolognese sauce. So it's very funny that you couldn't get bologna in Italy.
No, that I was actually in Bologna trying to find bologna.
You're at the source.
And yeah, turns out it doesn't actually come from Bologna. They had no idea what I was looking for, and it's called mortadella there.
Wow. Well, learn something new every day.
But so that, it's not like it's like the opposite of champagne having to come from the region.
It has to come from out of the region. But as we're talking it out, I'm like, that actually makes sense knowing what bologna is and how we pronounce it. Like, it's definitely how a person from Indiana would say bologna.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think someone just looked on a map for a fancy sounding place, and it's actually, you know, lips and assholes from somewhere in. Somewhere in America, and they just put a European name on it.
Wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last time. America, that's what we're good at.
So yeah, tell us, you know, you're starting your world tour so soon. Tell us about it. Are you excited? Like, you know, you're going everywhere.
I'm so excited. Yeah. I love touring. I love putting on a show, and I worked before getting into Drag Race and touring as a professional drag performer. I worked in theater as a set designer and a costume designer and a production designer. And I was able to really work behind the scenes to create a lot of awesome art and to create a spectacle and to create my own little world. And at that time, I always wished to be on the stage. I always wished to be the one in the story or the one performing, but I was always the one kind of behind the scenes facilitating how it all looked and how it all ran. So this is this amazing full circle moment where I was able to kind of elevate and become a professional full-time performer. And now I've been given this opportunity to kind of invite people into a whole world I'm creating. I've worked with my friend Marshall to do a really amazing set design, which incorporates another artist, Kat Dirty, who I love working with on some of my looks and some of my merchandise. So it's going to be a really fun sort of trip into my brain where you kind of I'm performing all the music and writing the music with my friend Andrew Taylor, and I've designed a lot of the costumes and I'm performing in the costumes and I did the set design, and so it's all a very immersive Jimbo experience. I'm really excited.
I love that. It's so funny because like you and Bianca Del Rio are two very different drag queens as far as performance wise, but I think you guys come from, it sounds like, a very similar place of like work ethic and like that kind of theater background. And it's so beautiful watching a performer that's worked so hard be able to then take all of those skills and apply it to like your actual show, like down the line, you know. That's it's awesome.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really awesome because I was able to go back to my clown teacher and director Britt Small, who founded Atomic Vaudeville, a performance company, a performance troupe that I started with. I was able to go back to these, my friends, and say, okay, I have this amazing opportunity. I'm building this show and I really want you to be involved. And I want to show the world this kind of magic we can create in our community here. And so that was really awesome. My friend Marshall, he and I worked together on sets and shows over 10 years ago together. And so it was just so fun to go back to some of these friends and collaborators and do this together.
I love that too. Here in LA, we have like a very big clown scene, but it hasn't crossed with the drag scene here at all whatsoever. So I think you're the only clown or clown drag queen that I know that has kind of come from that tradition. There might be more that you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I think that there's definitely some people that have a clown aesthetic, but don't necessarily understand what it is to be a clown. And then there's some people that are clowning that maybe we don't even necessarily know that they're actually clowning. It's just they're just, you know, being themselves. So I love my clown training. I love how it kind of informed my understanding of the audience and performance. And I also I love that people resonate with clowning without even really realizing that they're watching clowning. And I don't necessarily always present as a clown, but my clown is always with me and it's always informing my understanding of performance. So I hope that people get more into clowning. I love clowning. I tell people are like, oh, I'm kind of curious about getting clowning. I'm like, do it. It's so good for confidence. And if you want to be, you know, public speaking or just understanding that it's not that big a deal to fail. And it's actually kind of makes you stronger. And so, you know, clowning is all about that, being vulnerable, taking chances, sharing all that. And I love that.
For the lay person, what does it mean to be a clown? What is clowning?
Clowning is basically the essence of humanity through shared conversation, through a performance of a personal truth that is in immediacy. It's in the moment, and it's all about creating a feedback loop where you're kind of a conduit for your audience to experience what you're feeling. And so it's really about kind of sharing and listening and really being open to giving yourself over to an audience and really being in service of what they want. And it's kind of a balance between getting yourself off and serving yourself and your clown and what brings you joy and happiness, and listening to what your audience is liking out of your experience, and then going more in that direction and saying like, oh, this is what you're looking for and this is what you want, and finding ways of playing with that. And I think when you invite people in and when you let really people see you as a performer, as a person there, you can play really small things. You can start playing with all those subtleties in breath and in, you know, in the way that you blink or in the way that you look. All of a sudden people become super in tune with what is happening, and it creates this really magical moment where what I like is the shared surprise of it, where you kind of are in this moment and you're kind of experimenting and you discover something at the same time as your audience, and you laugh together about the absurdity of that realization. So that's what I love about clowning.
And there also seems to be sort of like physicality is very important to it. Like it almost like transcends language sometimes. Like the language is like the moment.
For sure. I feel like a lot of clowning is typically done without language, so that you're able to free yourself of the confines of words and of people's understandings of words, and transcend to the physical and the emotional and those feelings that are more subjective and maybe a little bit more open to being changed. I think as long as you aren't putting words to what you're doing, you're able to really switch and try new things and not get too stuck in a narrative or in an idea that you're trying to present, more being open to what's possible in that moment.
So do you have then, because I've done a little bit of clowning and stuff, and as you just said, it is like a lot about being in the moment. So does your show have like parts where you are, maybe it is going to like change depending on what's going on, or is it pretty much, you know, like, do you have your set list down, or how does it work?
Yeah, there's moments that are beats that are set and repeated through, you know, through the songs, you know, my songs that I lip sync to and perform to in the night. Those will always be set. But then there's moments that I built in when I'm doing different characters or before and after songs where I'm doing audience interaction. I think that's a really important part of drag and of being in a drag show, is that breaking of the fourth wall. And that's what clowning is all about. It's about breaking the fourth wall and really inviting your audience in. So that's what makes it go so well together.
It's amazing too. Okay. Yeah. Just watching you I was rewatching a bunch of clips from your All-Star season that you won, and you get a laugh out of Rue that so few other queens have got. Like, there's a psychotic level of laughter that you elicit from her that you don't really hear that she gets from a lot of other people. And I think it's because she feels that danger coming off of you. It's amazing.
Right. Yeah, she loves that. You know, Mama Ru is watching drag pretty much every day somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
And she does a really good job of being present and accessible and there in that moment. But I felt like I really wanted to surprise her. I really wanted to bring in some fresh energy. And I also, I have a different entry into drag through improv and through theater and vaudeville theater and performance art. And that's all kind of her start as well back in New York, coming up in the club kids and that kind of art, underground artist scene. So I think that there was a similarity and sort of a kinship that she saw there in our roots that helped. And then also she could tell, you know, I was a bit unpredictable and would kind of take whatever opportunity I could to be, a little bit, whatever that is, maybe a bit kind of naughty or a bit kind of, take a little risk in the moment to say what I was feeling or act out in some way, which she ended up laughing at.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As a group, we went to see a taping of All Stars several seasons ago, but it was like the talent show episode. And I was really stricken seeing it that you guys only got one take to do that shit. Like, I think even in a lot of reality shows that are not even competition or talent shows, like they retake stuff a bunch of times. And it was like, no, that's your shot. You shoot it. And I think that really translates into like why it's such a fun show to watch and like why the energy is so high and it feels so like spontaneous and honest is like that kind of was the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. I love that about it as well. I did my talent performance and they were like, how'd that go? It's like, it was perfect. They're like, okay. Okay, great. I was like, I loved it. But I think that, you know, that's the beauty of reality TV. You're it's all set up for you to, you know, potentially do the best and for it to all go great. But, you know, of course we love that gritty stuff and we love when things don't always go as planned. And that's the beauty of live performance. And when you're able to kind of translate that on screen and really show the stakes of the competition and what it's like to be there in that moment, I think it ends up, you know, being a little bit more honest and not quite so produced or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that's what as I think all of us can agree, like live performance, obviously you live for being in that moment and sharing with the audience, sharing those moments that you're like, this will never happen again anywhere else. Like this is something all of us in this room are experiencing that's like unique to this moment in time. And so, yeah, if you can capture any of that for a television show, that's like a miracle, I think. I feel like anytime I'm watching, like a lot of time watching stand up, you know, it just doesn't translate as much on TV or whatever, because you're just like, you just weren't there to kind of like feel what everyone else was feeling.
The energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah. I just love the spectacle. Like anything with spectacle, I love. Like just bring it, you know, dazzle people. Like what else are we here for?
Absolutely. Yeah. What else you want? give them the razzle dazzle.
Was it ever hard? Like when you're shooting this show and like you'd have like a bit that you were trying to do like with the other girls or something and you'd be like, no, go with me on this, because you're like you are yourself on the show, but I can tell there's always like you are looking for those clowning opportunities like in the moment.
Totally.
Yeah
I think I was always kind of pushing and trying to, you know, definitely on Canada's Drag Race, you know, I was, you know, I'd be acting out or just trying to be extra, keep the energy up, and you know, Ty Naomi would be like, Chimbo, stop, like be professional, stop it, sit down, stop being so crazy, stop, you know. And I was like, you know, relax, get into it, have fun. And I think I benefited because I worked on a film set before going into film, so I kind of went in with a certain understanding of being on the show and having that sense of play. I felt a little bit more free, whereas I heard from some of the other girls that when you come into Drag Race and you have this opportunity to be on TV, and you fought really hard to get there. Sometimes it's very, it's almost serious mm-hmm. when you get there, and they're really trying their best to present and take this opportunity, which has been offered to so few. And so there is this seriousness that can take over and trying to be polished and trying to stay true to this image that you're trying to convey, or this pressure to live up to your community or whatever. So I just went in every time trying to be silly and be myself. And I really did try to invite the other girls to, like, you know, let's find a fun way to do this, or let's be a little bit silly, or, you know, maybe they felt a little bit more free to be a bit silly themselves with me being a bit extra or a bit silly. So yeah, I definitely am always looking to fuck around somehow.
It's funny. I'm like rewatching the first season of Fargo right now. And the Billy Bob Thornton character is just this like chaotic shark that whines throughout the whole first season. And I genuinely like, reminds me of your drag in a certain way. Because it's just
never heard the Billy Bob Thornton comparison.
I have not. No, Billy Bob. We share a part of a name, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. It just reminds me. He's just like this chaotic, like unmovable force that is just like the driver of so much. And like, I feel like whenever like you enter a season, I'm just like, all right, well, let's just see what happens around Jimbo, basically.
Yeah, thank you. I love it so much. It's such a wild, insane ride to go and to be sequestered and to be yeah. there yeah. and under all that pressure and under all that excitement, and then, you know, you have that experience, and then you kind of sit on it and wait for the world to experience it again with you. And it's just so wild and so exciting. And
do you just,
it's
like
my favorite thing
open
ever.
Up your phone after like 4 weeks while you've been there, because you guys can't have cell phones or text anybody or
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you just open up your phone and everyone's like, where the fuck like... are you? What happened?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious.
All right. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If you're on TikTok, and we know that you are, odds are you've seen how products go viral and inundate your For You page. But the big question is, are those products actually as good as the strangers on the internet claim? Because strangers on the internet have never lied. Well, we're here to tell you that in the case of Athena Razor, yes, it's as good as everyone says it is. If you've been listening to the podcast for the last few weeks, you've heard us sing the praises of Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It is everything you need to elevate your shaving experience and only costs $10. The kit comes with an ergonomic razor handle and two razor heads, each with five blades perfectly spaced to let the hair pass with less irritation. Plus, that little magnetic hook will spark joy every time you hang your razor on it, knowing that you don't have to worry about goopy blades. And you already worry about enough. Take goopy blades off the list, you know what I mean? As if all that wasn't enough, the Athena Club razor also moisturizes as you shave thanks to its built-in avocado oil and hyaluronic acid serum. I've been using my Athena Club razor for a couple of weeks now, and I can definitely tell that the blades are sharper and they do last longer than their competitors. I feel more moisturized and, you know, frankly, I'm a convert. I love it. Ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code LADY2LADY, LADY, T-O, LADY, at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Jimbo.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to play a game and just ask you some silly questions. It's called Who, What, When, Where, Why, and we're going to bless you with one of our theme songs.
Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Why?
I love it.
You need an opening act, you know, just, you know, yeah. we've
got about four songs that are 30 seconds each yeah. or less.
So yes. We can do it tight to
I
a minute.
Love it.
Keep threatening to put out a vinyl. It'll happen eventually.
I love it. Yeah, with some beehives or something.
Yes.
And like an old diner or something.
Yeah. Like, do Up Girls in Little Shop?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? There we go. I love that.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Jimbo, serious question. Who is the worst Canadian?
Who is the worst Canadian? Oh, my gosh. Who is the worst Canadian? Who is the worst Canadian? I have no idea.
The kindness of Canada coming through right now.
Yeah, that is such a funny. I'm trying to think of a bad Canadian. Are there bad? There's got to be. Who's the worst, nastiest, dirtiest little Canadian out there?
That's funny because I feel like we wouldn't be able to answer.
We only know
too
the good
options.
Ones.
Well, yeah, Canadians.
Oh, you know some. Oh,
ones.
Yeah, Americans.
No, I meant Americans.
Bad ones. Yeah,
that Toronto.
We had Scott Thompson on recently, and another great comedian. So
yeah.
You know, we're in a good streak on the show.
I know. I'm trying to think of who is the worst fucking Canadian, and I don't know who it is.
That
Toronto mayor was horrible.
That's the only person I can think of.
Well, I could drag some of my Drag Race sisters, I guess, some shitty Canadians. No, I'm just kidding. We love them all. I have no idea.
Do you guys have parking tickets in Canada?
Oh, Jesus Christ. We got parking tickets on a car right now, I think. I live in a tourist city. I live in Victoria, BC, on west coast of Canada. So they love ticketing around here.
So maybe they're the worst Canadians.
Yeah, the parking ticket writers.
Yeah, let's pick those fuckers. Those guys. Those ticket people. They're the worst Canadian.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's sorry. Fair. We pushed you in. You know, we didn't let you know that that was going to, we were going to ask that. And it's a high pressure question.
It is high pressure.
I am just the worst with anything to do with names, anything to do with remembering, or anything to do with. Anything. I'm not very good at
it. Oh yeah, same. It's like if you're in a thing and someone's like, hey, like what shows are you watching? What books are you reading? And I'm like, I've never read a book in my life. My brain just stops working.
That's exactly, I did an interview earlier. They're like, who is the posters you had in your room as a kid? I was like, oh my God, I couldn't even tell you what's on my wall right now. But I have a horrible memory. I'm very much living in the moment. So
that's fair.
That's clown. That's clown, right?
Yeah.
So clown.
That's clown.
Yep. Okay. Next question. What is your favorite thing about Joan Rivers?
Ooh, my favorite thing about Joan Rivers. I love her ability to be so funny so quickly and to have a way of reading people that was just so funny. I loved her fashion review where she would just drag people on that red
carpet. Yeah, we're really missing that. That needs to come back.
That was so funny. It was so funny. She was basically a drag queen and mm-hmm. just dragging people for their outfits. And that takes a certain kind of bravery because, you know, you have to really put yourself out there to, and then, you know, take the wrath of doing that. But it is funny. There is something funny about it.
Well, there's not enough fear on red carpets now, I don't think, either. Like, I think people are too comfortable.
Right. People are too comfortable. Yeah, I know. Hopefully, I would love to do on a red carpet appearance as Joan and just drag everyone's outfits.
Oh, my God. We should have an award show into the universe to have you do that.
Yeah, let's put that in the universe. Let's put that in the universe.
Oh, wait, I have a subset question then. And I know you just said your memory is not good, but mine either. But are there any awards show outfits that are sticking out to you, either for good or for bad, when you think of like red carpet looks?
When I think of red carpet looks that have happened within the world, I tend to really think about the Met Gala. Mm-hmm. And I love those Met Gala looks. I love all the camp. I love all the glamour. I guess the only look that I've seen recently it wasn't necessarily bad, but kind of funny. My friend Christian Cowan designed this big black fur ball at New York Fashion Week. And the model was in a fur sphere that went pretty much down to their knees. And they had no eye holes and they walked out on the catwalk and they couldn't see where they were going and they kind of wandered down the runway and got lost at the end of the runway. And Sam Smith was singing and performing. You can see Sam's like singing and just watching, going, what the hell's going on? As this poor model, in this big black fur ball, and at the end, she got kind of lost at the end of the runway and bumped into people and kind of fell over. It was so funny and so chaotic. So, and just so funny. And Christian Cowan has such a great sense of humor. And I think Heidi Klum later wore that ball dress and did some modeling in it. So, yeah, I thought that was a really, really funny moment.
That's great.
That is hilarious.
I love that.
The first red carpet look that comes to my mind, I think this is just like me being a millennial as fuck, is J-Lo's green
dress. Oh, the one that Google Images was invented for?
Wait, what?
Google Images was invented because so many people were looking for a picture of her in that dress.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
And then I remember when Trey Parker.
Thank you, J-Lo.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone wore, like, one of them wore that to, I don't know, some award thing too. And
the other
was
Gwyneth.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just
such
a classic. They
wore the Oscars together for.
Classic. That's gonna be I guess just the one that's in my head. And now I didn't know the Google Images thing. That's amazing.
That's so funny.
Yeah, that dress is also how I learned about boob tape.
How did she do that?
I still
can't get boob tape to work. It's just not, I don't fucking know. Maybe something.
Yeah, nothing sticks to my boobs. It's the silicone. Just dog hair. If I could have tape made out of dog hair, I'd be set.
Do you have a little
Speaking
dog?
Speaking of, I have so much cat hair on this microphone cover.
Uh-huh. I was surprised my cats haven't made an appearance. They must be sleeping somewhere.
Okay.
It feels like your place has so many good hidey holes for a cat. To just like be inside of a mannequin or curled up on several capes. Like there's lots of little nooks and crannies.
Yeah, and this is the clean side. This is the tidy side. That there's another side. On the other side, it's all chaos and costumes and drag and wigs. And the cats love hiding around over there.
Aw,
That's a joy.
Right before I left the house to come record, this is not a cat story, it's a dog story, but my Chihuahua Garth, who's very naughty, I caught him breaking into the compost to eat eggshells.
Oh my God.
Garth.
Oh,
he's
God.
So crazy.
Oh, Garth.
What an undignified, I know.
Completely undignified.
Maybe he needs calcium.
Yeah.
So maybe he's calcium deficient.
Yeah, what is the eggshell appeal?
I think
it's a chihuahua.
Like,
you can't.
It's a chihuahua. He's just like a street dog, you know? Like he's just like.
Yeah. No, our cat, I get it. We got a street. Yeah. Street rat, street cat.
Yeah, I have a chihuahua as well. And he got inside of my duvet cover the other day. I don't know. He was somehow undid a button, got inside of it. And it's like kind of like a velour-ish one. So it had all this like fuzz in the inside. And now the fuzz is just stuck to his beard. He looks like Nick Nolte's mugshot. It's insane. It's truly crazy every time.
He already felt like Nick Nolte. I didn't realize that until now.
Oh, yeah. He's always, my dog has big Nick Nolte mugshot energy and, you know, more so now than ever.
So cute.
Okay, Jimbo, when do you dip out?
I am dipping out on a cruise in 2 days.
Oh, so where?
I'll be headed out to the Caribbean with Heidi and Closet, Candy Muse, Jessica Wild. And, so we're headed out in 2 days on this cruise. And then I come back. I've got 1 week after this cruise to get my last bit of act together, finish my costumes, get my tits all polished up, and then I head to Detroit, and then we start the tour February 29th out of Detroit.
Wow. That's exciting.
So are you going on, you're performing on this cruise, or is this like a to relax before tour?
I am performing on this cruise and creating the fun entertainment for the people. With my sisters. So it's going to be a new experience. I haven't really done this kind of, I did a cruise for the past 2 years, but I was just a special guest performing one night. So this, I was hoping was going to be a little mini boot camp before I head into this, this little tour.
Do you have any tips for keeping that amount of makeup on in Caribbean weather? Like in...
Right. Yeah. When I go down, I tend to wear less makeup when I'm down, like in the South doing drag, because it's kind of so sweaty. And if you do it even thicker, then you kind of, it gets even sweatier. So I try to go a little bit lighter with my,
that's a good,
with
that's
my makeup.
A great tip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not quite so thick with it. And then the other tip that I have is, what the hell? What other tip? Setting spray.
Yeah.
Get a good setting spray. Mm.
What's your favorite setting spray?
I use the Anastasia Beverly Hills golden sparkly one, dewy set.
Okay,
I like
this
her,
is very
I like
good
Anastasia's
intel.
Brow pencil. I'm such a millennial that I remember when you could get your brows done by Anastasia for $20.
Whoa.
Yes.
By Anastasia herself.
Literally, I had friends who had like the name Anastasia in their phone, and they'd be like, I gotta go get text Anastasia. Anastasia was like, yeah, her office was right by the Starbucks in Beverly Hills.
Good for her. She's come a long way. Wow.
She come up.
She sure has. Damn.
Yeah.
I love that.
Wow.
And okay, Jimbo, where are you most excited to go on tour?
I am most excited to, where am I most excited to go? I always love being in big cities on the tours. They have some really awesome big energy when you're kind of in those you know, show business hubs like LA and New York. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like, you know, when you're dreaming as a kid and when you're kind of thinking, you know, what do I want to do? I want to have a show and I want to be a performer. And I, you know, it's kind of those cities like Vegas and New York and LA that really kind of hold that magic, and that kind of symbolizes kind of like making it or being in it at the pinnacle, or, you know, in the, where these things originate from and sort of build. So I think there's something really exciting and special about being in those places, which have such a tradition of performance and glamour and magic and storytelling, and to be there and to be performing at that level and to be, to be there with so many people at that level is just amazing. So I'm excited for that.
Are there any cities that have surprised you on tour? Like they're more glamorous than you thought they would be?
I'm from Canada, so we have, you know, pretty limited amount of large cities here that are very spread out across. We have like Vancouver, Edmonton, maybe, is that's a big city, I'm not quite sure, and then we go over to Toronto and then Montreal, so we kind of have like three, and so it's amazing going to America where there are like I don't even know how many big cities, but it seems to be there's a big city everywhere. And when we're on the tour bus and we're traveling, it's like day after day after day. It's amazing to see the differences between all the places, from the West Coast to the East Coast to down South. And then even down South as you're traveling through Texas and Louisiana and all that. I just love how there's just so many different places in the States to go and experience and totally different little vibes and areas. So I think that's what I love most about this opportunity to tour in the States, is really just how many awesome cities there are close to each other. I love going to Chicago. I love going to San Francisco. I love going to New Orleans. I love going to, so many places. It's amazing how many different places there are in the States that are so fun.
I mean, I'm looking at your tour schedule. You're going to all of them, too. I mean, is crazy. February 29th through the June. I mean, this is what? This is like 40, 50 cities almost, it looks like. It's crazy. You're going to be busy, girl.
Yeah. I'm going to be busy. And then we're going to Australia in the fall. And the plan is to hopefully go to Europe and South America and Asia. So
are you gonna have a rap on your tour bus, or are you gonna have one at like is it gonna be like Jimbo's Drag Circus tour bus, or is it just gonna be more low-key?
Well, we kind of like traveling low-key because
that's fair,
you know, you never know what's gonna happen. And also the bus is so expensive as it is, I can't imagine how expensive it would be to to wrap it in my own thing. But I love that Spice Girls fantasy where the whole thing is wrapped in my big, huge head, and you know, got my tits on the front as the headlights, and a big ass on the back. You know, you kind of slide out the back, and you come out a poop chute or something, and hit the road.
I'm definitely do you do the moment, like the moment where, you know, at one of your biggest venues, you walk out on stage alone and there's no one there yet and like soak it in and then like maybe throw a piece of bologna just to see what it feels like.
Right. The test shot, listen to the bologna echo in the auditorium. Yeah. I have to do that. I think as a performer, and I think any performer, when you're on a stage and when you're in that moment, it is so fun to envision yourself to stand there and to go, imagine if it was me, imagine if I got to be the star, imagine if I was able to fill this room, or imagine if I had a story or the attention of all these people. And there has been so many times throughout my life where I've been in stages or in theaters or in places or on stages, and I've dreamed and I've thought and I've wished and I've thought, imagine it was me standing here, imagine this was my story, imagine I was able to sell this place. And so it is so exciting, and I can't wait to have gone from doing what you're saying as that dreaming and wishing and hoping on the stage to actually doing that for all my fans. I can't wait.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know. Well, definitely. I mean, if you guys have not seen Jimbo on Drag Race or All Stars, like, your drag is so creative. It's so fun. It's so smart. It's sexy. It's like, it's just you're just one of those like stars, and like, definitely check out Jimbo's tour schedule and see Jimbo if you can.
Aw, thanks, Tess, you little sweetie.
Okay, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be back. Hey, everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. This is Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Jimbo.
And it's time for Lady Problems. You guys have been sending them to us, which we love. Keep sending them in. Give us a call, 3236-BUT-30, or email us, ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
I love that phone number.
Thank you.
We have to get something with butt in it. We tried to find all the Google voices.
6-BUT-30 somewhere.
It's important.
All right, here's another one of our theme songs.
Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Hi, ladies. I need your opinion on something. So I am one of those people that loves my birthday. I don't really, like, I like the week, but, like, the day of, I'm like, this is the day all about me. It's the day I entered the world, right? So anyway, a year and a half ago, I made a new friend, and we found out last year that we not only were born on the same exact day and year, but also at the same hospital, 8 hours apart from each other. So, like, clearly we're supposed to be friends. But that is my birthday, and it's her birthday, and we're both Aries, and, like, I don't want to share my birthday. So, I don't know, what are your suggestions for, like, celebrating this year? Last year it wasn't a problem because she had a different, like, an engagement, whatever, but this year I don't know how to do it. Okay, thank you, love you, bye.
Oh my God, I love that. That is so funny. I'm definitely the more the merrier kind of person. So I've shared a birthday with someone before and I thought that was magic. So I thought, oh, that's a sign, you know, that we're supposed to be friends. I get kind of wanting to have my own thing, but I love sharing. So for me, another person sharing my birthday, that just means double the friends, double the fun. I don't mind it. So, but that's funny. What do you guys think? Would you mind sharing with your with your sissy, or would you?
It's just, I love how she's like, but that's my birthday, even though it's
so funny. Yeah.
It's her birthday,
but it's her friend's birthday.
I'm like, I want to know your birthday because I'm an Aries who's obsessed with my birthday, and I'm like, do we have the same birthday?
Gotta call.
Because you could be like, newsflash, it's not even your birthday, bitch. It's my birthday.
Actually, I honestly, addendum.
I mean, I think that this is. I think you should look at this positively because I just think that this is more opportunity for more birthday celebration, like sharing and doing your own thing. You know what I mean? I think there can be both.
Yeah, yeah. I think there can be two events on a day if you guys feel like you need to each have something. Like that's right. You know, like, that's a thing.
I think what you have is a birthday enabler, and you should fully enjoy and take advantage of that. Like, what you're already doing on your birthday, which it sounds like no notes. Great. Love that. I love it. You're making a big deal about it. Totally on board with that. But like, you now can like double down and like all these delicious spoilings, you can just even justify them even more. Like massage.
Right.
Yeah. You're getting two massages. You're both going to get mani-pedis. You're both going to lunch. Like all the fun things.
Yeah.
You don't need to drag anyone else into this nonsense. Like it can just be the two of you spoiling yourself.
So you're saying double down. You're saying double down. You're saying don't only share the birthday. You're saying you want a sweater built for two. You want a bicycle built for two.
I think so.
I see no need to, for you guys to have separate driver's licenses. Just combine.
Well,
Lady and the Tramp, suck one noodle together.
Yeah,
totally. Well, and you guys were born a whole 8 hours apart. So technically, it's still your birthday for 8 hours before it's her birthday.
That is very true. If you have to get technical with the time.
Get technical.
Yeah.
I like that. Do an all day birthday party where it's yours until it turns.
I think you should get a big key with your birth date on it. And I think at the moment that she is born, you hand the key to her. And I think then she, you know, at some point over the course of the next year, on the beginning of your birthday, she hands it back to you next year. And you guys have like a tradition.
There you go.
Yeah. A passing of the moment.
Of the giant birthday key.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, there's so much fun, obviously, as another birthday aficionado, you know this, but like there's so much fun to be had. You're going to get a free treat at Sephora. Both go do that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Honestly, go through all the free things that you get for your birthday and then like maybe, you know, divide and conquer that list. You know, you guys can go to Denny's and get free Grand Slams together. That's
exciting. Was a really fun day going to get all the free stuff together.
Yeah.
One time I went to a Denny's with a gal whose birthday was the day after mine. Babs was here, was there.
I was there.
And I was excited because we were there on my birthday and I got a free Grand Slam, but she kept trying to argue with the manager because her birthday was the next day. And she's like, but I'm here. I want mine now. And the manager was like, nope, you got to come tomorrow. That's not, this isn't how birthdays work. And I just ate my free pancakes in front of her. Oh, felt great.
I mean, to me, I feel like, of course, there's some negatives here if you don't want to share at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there's more opportunity here just for more fun in general. You know, and if you really want a dinner or something that's just yours, like, I think just be specify and be like, you know, I want to make sure I have my own thing. So like, let's make sure we both do something separate as well or whatever you want to call it, you know, and they probably get it because they're also in the same position.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And may I suggest a new outfit for each dinner?
Yes.
Oh, costume change.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Just an opportunity to be more extra is all you've got here. Exactly. And I think you should run with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think as long as the gifts are separate, then you're good.
Yeah.
If you start getting to shared gifts, that could be difficult.
That's bullshit.
That starts becoming a problem for sure.
Yeah. I was hanging out with my friend's kid the other day and she's like, my birthday is coming up. I'm having a party. She's like, sucks though. No presents.
What?
Like, because I get, you know, like kids put that on their invite, like no presents. And she was like, it was just so honest. She's like, no presents.
I was like, what do you mean kids? Is that a thing that
people
do?
That's like a common. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
No, it's common because, I mean, like, if... Because
kids already have all the shit they need.
They have all the shit they need. And then also, like, a lot of kids, like, you invite the whole class. So then you're going to some kid's birthday every weekend. So you can't be buying, like, a Barbie every weekend.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sucks. No presents.
No presents. No presents allowed.
Parents
just
better
go a little fashion fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys work on your birthday?
Depends.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually. Yeah, I do. Yeah, usually.
I put on a show or a party usually, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
I
mean, I'll take it off like I'll probably take it off if I like day job, but I might do my own stuff or something.
Yeah, it's like fun to do an event. I like also like mm-hmm. to use it as like a reset with stuff too. So to me, mm-hmm. like there is something nice about spending at least some part of the day just like cleaning something out or like just like kind of doing some sort of just like, all right, and that was from last year, like just gone or whatever.
Right.
Like that's kind of nice for me at least.
Like a New Year's Day kind of vibe.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like my birthday is in March. It's springtime. It's just very like... Yeah, it feels
spring
like
spring cleaning.
Yeah, spring cleaning. It just feels like, all right, cool. It's just like anything that like from New Year's that like I want to reset that I like kind of didn't. That's like when it gets to start again or something too.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's nice. Anything that can feel like a reset. I got several of them built into the year.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, false starts. Good idea. Beautiful.
Fresh start.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't count. Here we are. This is the real one.
I think you're fine. You got this. Have fun.
Yeah.
If you want to let us know when you were born so we know if Tess is on the same day, I'd be fascinated.
Yeah, email us because I'm very curious to know.
Yeah, we'd love to know.
And and also just side note, we haven't done this before, but I think we are going to put up a wish list for us, which we've never done.
Yes.
Because like, fuck it. If anybody wants to send us birthday presents, you can see what's on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
The lady to lady wish list. Sent from lady to lady.
Yeah. Let's use that P.O. box, baby. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
Which I haven't. Oh, my God. I should say it now, finally. I keep meaning to take a picture of it, but I wanted to shout out to our listener, Jared, who sent me a can opener. Because I was complaining. Yeah, because I kept going. Every time I saw one in the store, I was like, I'm not paying this much money for a can opener. And so he sent me a great one. So thank you, Jared. I appreciate you.
I know
Did the prices of can opener skyrocket during the pandemic?
They're just like, yeah, probably to get your canned goods. I don't know, but it was always like over $15. And I was like, I'm just not, who's spending that? I don't know. It was a mental block.
Use your teeth.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, they feel speaking more of expensive not wanting than they to should spend be. Money on stuff, can I poll you guys / brainstorm here? I have a question. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Oregon on Friday for a show. I'm taking a Velo there, which means that I would have to pay if I want to have a carry-on.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get away with just a backpack for a one-night trip?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you're asking you. This is not...
I mean, I can. I don't know about you.
Like my normal weekend packing is like the big boy.
Right.
But I'm
so you're flying
just
in and
wear all your clothes.
Yeah, yeah. Just wear what you're gonna
just wear them all.
In.
Yeah, okay. Just go in, wear everything.
Yeah, layer
once.
It up.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And then take it off as soon as I get off.
That'd
the...
be so funny if she's just like marshmallow walking down.
I also, when I fly and like I have like the personal backpack rule, I like hang a lot of stuff on the outside of my backpack like an asshole because I like them to know I know they're bullshit.
These are the tips I need.
Yeah, I hang a lot of stuff. It's just a jingle jangle
mess.
Very
hobo style. Yes,
absolutely. But pack. I will not give them $40. What am I going to do? Give them more money? No. Principle. Principle overall.
Runs $60 for me to bring a carry on.
Oh,
my flight
go fuck
was like free, like or whatever. Like.
Yeah, yeah. No.
No, you can do it. You can do it. I have faith.
Yeah, you can do it. Okay. You can do it. You can wait.
All right,
I believe
guys.
You know.
All right, cool. Because okay. My husband does not. He was like, what? He was like, you?
I mean, I definitely want to see it in action,
okay,
but
okay.
Yeah, we're going to need to see photos of like how you do this. I believe in you. Though. Yeah. I think you can. How many suitcases do you travel with, Jimbo? Like, what is the packing routine for like this tour going to look like?
I travel with so many suitcases. I usually travel with my partner. Sometimes nine is the, you know, depending on what I'm doing and how long I'm out there, mm-hmm. we'll each have four, and sometimes one on top and then two small ones, two backpacks and two fanny packs. So sometimes it goes up to 13 bags, depending on how many different little bags and backpacks and shit we've got. But the minimum, I need one for my makeup and hair, one for being a boy, and one with tits and ass, which I usually put in my carry-on because it's so heavy.
Yeah.
And so I try to cheat that way and just jam my tits and ass in my carry-on. But it's always funny because they, when it goes through the TSA, they have to always look, and the scanner goes through and you literally see like a butt and boobs on, and they're like, what is in here? Like, oh, that's just my body. And they're like, oh, what? We're going to have to swap that.
Swab away, baby.
This woman, she was... Yeah, this woman opened it up, and it was my butt pads, which is a silicone butt, and it does actually have like a fake vagina on it. But the woman was kind of going through the suitcase, and she was like, "I have to swab this," and I was like, "Well, remember, back to front," and she was like, "Actually, hun, it's front to back." Oh, shit, sorry, my bad.
I'm new at this.
You just gave your fake butt a UTI.
I know. I'm new to this.
You know, yeah, that's interesting because, like, as someone who just has tits and ass on my person, I didn't think about having to travel with it, you know, extra. So. Mm-hmm. That's a bonus.
Yeah.
I'm carrying this. I'm not paying extra for to bring this ass on the plane. Well, Jimbo, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's so fun to hear about your tour. We cannot wait to see it. Yeah, thank you. And it starts at the end of February. So everybody, check the dates. Definitely going to a city near you. I can guarantee it because, yeah, you're going everywhere.
That's right. We're rolling through. And I'm so grateful. Thanks, Brandy, Babs, and Tess for having me on Lady to Lady. Aww. And I hope to see you guys out at one of my shows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, everybody.
You guys will hear us next week. Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
3, 2, 3. 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, ladies. It's your friend Monica from Wisconsin. I just had a question. Has anyone ever sent you a lock of their own hair?
Hi, ladies. I was just listening to the latest episode where you were chatting about men's ability to do laundry, which, fair. But I do have a hot tip for any ladies who are interested in getting their man to do their laundry. No brag, but I have not done my laundry in years because my partner does our laundry. And the way to get him to treat your high-quality garments with the proper care and handling is simply to introduce him to men's Lululemon clothing, right? Okay, buy your man some Lululemon. Teach him how important it is to wash that Lululemon with care and to air dry it, and before you know it, he will be doing your laundry. That's all I have to say. Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine.
Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok @BabsGray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.